Prime Minister, thank you very much for doing this one-on-one. It's much easier than me yelling questions at you at caucus every week.
I'm always glad to talk with you, Cormac.
Okay, let's start off with the big announcement you have this morning on the carbon pricing plan from your government. How do you plan to compensate Canadians from the carbon pricing?
First of all, we know that it's time to act. We know that putting a price on pollution is one of the fundamentally essential tools to actually fighting climate change. But we also know that we need to make sure that families are okay. And that's why we are going to be compensating families so that they're, and Canadians in the provinces in which we're bringing in a price on pollution because the province won't do it. So we're compensating those families directly and they'll be better off with the incentive we're returning to them.
So provinces like Ontario, Manitoba, Saskatchewan, and I believe New Brunswick as well, who are not reaching your standards, those are the only provinces that will get this rebate, not the provinces that currently have their own systems in place like British Columbia.
Well, places like British Columbia and Quebec and others have shown real leadership on climate change are moving forward in their own plan that works for their citizens and that grows the economy and that reaches the stringency necessary in terms of putting a price on pollution. The other provinces, the four you mentioned, over the past 2 years have not gotten to the place where they're actually putting a price on pollution. So they continue to want to make pollution free, and we think that shouldn't happen. So because we're having to bring in a federal plan to put that price on pollution, we're also going to directly compensate citizens so that they're better off under this approach.
How much will each person get, and how do you figure out what they get in return?
Well, it changes across the province, and it changes by size of families, but we are going to be making sure that families are receiving that. The vast majority of families are receiving more money back from this incentive than they pay in extra costs for the price we're putting on pollution.
Part of what's supposed to make a carbon tax work is that the higher prices act as a disincentive towards polluting behaviors. But if you're giving that money back, isn't that defeating the purpose? How will this actually change behaviors?
Actually, no. Core of putting a price on pollution is exactly that, making sure that pollution is no longer free. You're making something you don't want more expensive. We don't want pollution, so we're putting a price on it. And that will actually change behaviors in a meaningful way. The Nobel Prize in Economics was just awarded to an economist who laid out the fact that putting a price on pollution is the best way to fight climate change, and that's exactly what we're doing. There's a conservative movement out there that refuses to put a price on pollution. They refuse to act on environment, and that's something we've seen for a long time, and we're seeing it continue now, but now is the time to act. There's no question that people are seeing the impacts of climate change, whether it's wildfires or floods or heat waves or disappearing glaciers and changing weather patterns. People know that we have to act now, and that's exactly what we're going to do. Conservatives don't want to act, but we are, and I'm looking forward to talking with Canadians about it later today and for the next 12 months.
Even under your plan, I mean, it means a price on carbon of about $50 a ton by 2022, but that's nowhere close to where experts say you need to be to actually make a meaningful change in terms of the climate issue, which is, they say you need to put a price of about $200 a ton. So are you going to eventually hit that target? Will you be raising the price significantly in the future?
Well, one of the things we're doing alongside putting a price on carbon and putting a price on pollution is actually investing in green technologies, investing in renewable energy, incentivizing behaviors in a whole range of ways. So yes, if you were to only do a price on pollution, it would have to be significant. But if you do that in coordination with significant other measures that are part of our comprehensive pan-Canadian plan to fight climate change, then we're going to be able to reach our Paris commitments by 2030.
Critics call this a job-killing carbon tax. Can you guarantee that no jobs will be lost from your carbon pricing plan?
I think Canadians know that the world is changing, that we have to fight climate change, that we have to develop new ways of doing things. And this is about creating the jobs of the future. There are folks out there who still try to pretend that there's a choice between growing the economy and protecting the environment. But most Canadians I talk to understand that the only way to build a strong economy for the future and protect future generations is to do them together.
But could jobs possibly be lost as industries have to make significant changes, or they'll face a penalty for it?
In my conversations with industry, they have embraced the predictability, the clarity that goes with putting a price on pollution. They understand that this is something that the world is moving towards right now, from China to California to Europe. People are putting a price on pollution because this is the most powerful way of incentivizing the right kinds of behaviors in the corporate, in the business world, that is going to reduce our emissions. And people know fundamentally that it's time to act. The UN has said we've got 12 years left to act, and we are going to act. And unfortunately, there are still politicians out there who've done nothing on the environment, who continue to want to put their head in the sand and say we can get away with doing nothing. Well, I'm sorry, we are taking action, and we're not going to make pollution free again.
How does this make Canada more competitive when other countries are not enacting the exact same standards that we have?
Oh, we know that there are trillions of dollars in investments going to be made in the coming years in greener economy, in cleaner jobs, in the kinds of solutions that Canada can and will be putting forward if we're putting a price on pollution. We need to stop making pollution free, and that's exactly what we're going to do. And at the same time, we're going to make sure that families are better off, and that's exactly what this plan is going to do.
You're making the announcement in Etobicoke, Premier Doug Ford's backyard. Are you kind of politically trolling the Premier with this location?
Etobicoke North has been Kirstie Duncan's riding for me since she was my seatmate when I got first elected back in 2008. So this is about going to see my science minister and making sure that people understand this is grounded in real science and real action.
Switching gears here, the issue of journalist Jamal Khashoggi. You've said that the Saudi explanations are not consistent or credible. If Canada truly believes in freedoms of expression and freedom of the press, what more will it take for Canada to stop selling arms to Saudi Arabia?
Well, first of all, we have suspended export permits before, and we are more than willing to do it again. And that's certainly what we're looking at. And we are working with the international community, including Chrystia Freeland, who's leading the efforts around the G7 to hold Saudi Arabia to account and actually get clarity on what actually happened. This is something extraordinarily serious. We take the freedom of journalists as an essential building block, not just of democracies, but of safe and free societies all around the world. And this is unacceptable.
Germany's already frozen its sales. The Turkish president says this is a pre-planned operation. Why can't Canada follow Germany's example?
We are absolutely looking at a broad range of options. One of the challenges we face is the contract that we are bound to with Saudi Arabia is a very difficult one. It was negotiated by Stephen Harper and the Conservative government, and I do not want to be in a place where Canadians are forking over billions of dollars to Saudi Arabia because we're standing up for human rights. So we're being very, very careful, because I don't want us to pay penalties on this. We're being very, very careful about how we move forward. But as I've said, we have in the past suspended export permits, and that's a path open to us as well.
And I'm just about out of time, but just wanted to get your reaction to the municipal elections in Ontario, and what are your priorities for working with the new city councils?
Oh, it'll be about continuing on the priorities that Torontonians and indeed all Ontarians have been talking about, whether it's transit, whether it's housing, growing the economy, growing jobs, as we've been doing over the past year. We look forward to working with folks elected to serve citizens better.
Prime Minister, thank you so much for your time today. Really appreciate it.
Always a pleasure, Cormac.